from tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleChamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, April the 10th, 2004. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Carla Boutade of Newton, Texas is the...
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
And he is a liar. I love that today. He's just a liar. All he can do is threaten you, and if you buckle, hey, he just stomps all over you. It's time for us to stand up and say, hey, you're a liar. In fact, I heard a teaching one time, and I've used this. Satan will come to you and say, your kids will never come. That's when we should stop and just jump for joy and be saying, my kids are coming up! Because he's a liar. When he comes in with everything you hear, it's a lie. You may as well just praise God that the opposite's coming because he's a liar. He's trying to tell you something and make you believe it. So I use that a lot. As soon as I hear that, I start praising God that just the opposite of what he said is coming. You know, because he's a liar. So he gave glory to God. He lived a life that glorified God, even though his promise hadn't come yet. And don't you know people mocked him? In the middle of all of this stuff, the naysayers, you know. I'll just tell you, I had one of my middle child went to prison. And just, if anybody had told me 10 years ago this and this and this is going to happen with the kids, hey, you got the wrong family. You don't even know who you're talking to. But it happened. And people would say to me, hey, when he comes out, I tell you, that record's going to follow him all the days of his life. I said, it will not follow him all the days of his life. I want you to know that God can make that record invisible. He belongs to God. You know, I mean, I begin to just prophesy and speak my desire to him. He will have the job of his choice. He will. And I want you to know he has. And he just got married 2 weeks ago. And guess what? He's in training for the ministry. That's my prophecy. He doesn't know he's in training for the ministry. But I was headed somewhere. I was invited to this meeting, and there were going to be a lot of ladies that I hadn't seen since we moved away. And I mean, your people would say, this is the Leave It to Beaver Christian family. And we were, you know. It wasn't a pride thing. We lived according to the principles of God, and we were blessed. And then, when all of this started happening, and I'm going to this meeting, and there's going to be people there, what's the first thing? How are the children? You know, and I thought, I'm driving down the road. Lord, what am I going to say to these people? I mean, when I say these things to people, because you know I'm not ashamed. It's not shame anymore. It was in the beginning. Ouchie. This is bad. But God brought me out of that. It's not that I'm ashamed to say these things, but when I say this, this, and this with the three kids, I end up needing to comfort them. You know, they're just in shock. So I didn't expect an answer, but a little ways down the road, the Lord said, hey, if anybody asks, you tell them that all three of your children are in training for the ministry. And I laughed out loud because I love that, Lord. You know, but they are. He will use everything the devil brought for their harm for his good. And I know that without a doubt. And he has with Kyle. You know, Kyle came out of prison. Hey, he told that kid, but he went for deliverance. He understands deliverance. And I told him, when you're ready to change your life, you let me know because you will need deliverance. Because let me tell you, the first time you stole from us, and I know you felt guilty about it because you were raised right. But the second time you stole from us, and then you stole from the neighbors down the street, and you, you know, He was in and out of jail so many times I lost count. I said, the demon of lying and thievery and everything else that you've involved yourself in is living in your flesh. And he called me up to his bedroom one night in tears and said, just crying, Mama, I don't know why. I don't want to do these things. I tell myself I'm not going to do these things ever again. Before I know it, I've done it again. I don't understand why I'm doing it. You know, and I said, Kai, open your Bible to Romans chapter 7. You know, you sound like Paul. Paul, you know, the very thing I hate, the thing I do, the thing I want to do, good and evil, and, you know. I said, hey, we all have those things. But you're going to need deliverance because with those demons in there, you may desire to do right, but they're going to rule you. Now, after they get out, you have to discipline yourself. After deliverance is discipline. But you can't discipline demons. They're going to rule you because they get in there and then they demand to be satisfied. And they'll blind you. It's like, hey, they're like me with my chocolate. You know, did I already eat both of those? You know, they'll just blind you. Before you know it, you've messed up. So he went for deliverance, and he's been back several times. We went to Frank Hammond, and his fiancée, who was raised Baptist, and she wanted to know, now, where are y'all going? And what are y'all going to do? And so I gave her a book to read about breaking ungodly soul ties, because I knew she had some. And my son said, Mama, she's got a list of about 80 things she wants to be delivered from. I said, well, hallelujah. Hey, we made a trip in January. I said, I want y'all to go before you get married. You know, clean house. Start this out right, you know. And so we did. And I have great hopes for this couple, because they know so much more than I ever knew at this age. And so I do have great hopes for both of them. So, you live a life that glorifies God even when. I know there were times, you know, I shed a lot of tears. It caused a lot of trouble in our marriage because my husband and I were at odds on, you know, how things should be handled. And I said, Lord, what am I to do? He said, hey, you turn that boy completely over to Mike. Get out of it. He's the head of the house. So he was making wrong, you know, bad decisions. But I look back on that, and I see the wisdom of God, because we would be divorced today, I'm telling you. Because I was watching my son seemingly be destroyed at the hand of my husband. You know, because there was, the discipline wasn't there. So then there was bitterness, anger, and resentment, you know, there. And one Sunday in church, I said, Lord, when will he discipline Kyle the way he needs it? And God said, I want you to quit looking to Mike to discipline Kyle. I will father Kyle. And he showed me in Psalm chapter 27, verse 10, when my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Do you know what the word forsake means? Not what we think it means. It means let go of. When my father and mother let go of me, then the Lord can take me up. We get in God's way sometimes. But I had to, and God said, lay him on my altar. I had to lay him on at 16 years old. I mean, he was just a boy. But I had, once again, I understood Abraham, because Abraham had to lay Isaac. We can do this. We can trust God. I knew God provided a sacrifice for Isaac. That gave me assurance that Kyle was going to be okay no matter what. No matter what. I tell you, we've been taken some places I never thought I'd go. You know, to enter into a prison. But you know what? It has given me such a different heart attitude for people in prison. Because I used to think that only terrible, evil, wicked people were in prison. There's a lot of just stupid people in prison. You know, there's just some stupid, they've done stupid things and are paying a big price. But You know, you think about children who have grown up, left themselves, no one to father them, no love, no nurturing, no teaching. They are just at the mercy of demons. It's really sad. So it's given me a heart of compassion, you know, for these people. But Kyle said, I told my cellmate that I was going to get out on the first chain, they call it. After you've served your time, they start releasing you. But some of those guys stay in there 6 months to a year after they've served their time because of stuff I don't understand, but the way their name comes up or their number or I don't know what. But Kyle said, I am going out on the first chain. And that guy said, how do you know? You don't know that. He said, I know it. I have asked God for it, and I believe that I am. You know, he got out on the first chain. He said, it's just amazing because they've been raised in God. They have experienced miracles their whole life long. They know the power of God. And God also has shown me that Satan is hard-pressed for the children of the righteous. He is after your seed. He has been after the seed from the beginning. He was after the seed of Jesus. He's after the seed of the Word that's planted in your heart. He's after our seed. So we've got to really pray over our children. People were fearful because, let me tell you, he's a good-looking man. Young, pretty, handsome. And his grandmother said, you know what they do to young boys in prison? I said, they will not come near Kyle. I have encamped the mighty angels of God shoulder to shoulder around him every day that no evil penetrates. No evil. That if anybody approaches him, God will open the eyes of the demons in him to see the angels of God around him, and they'll run. They won't touch him. Nobody. Kyle never felt fear. I tell you, the power that God has given us and the angels that he has, the angels are there for us to use that way. I've even needed for Mike to call me. He'd be out in the woods doing a job for somebody, and I'd say, Lord, I really need to talk to Mike. Would you send an angel and have Mike call me? And I mean, 10 or 15 minutes later, the phone would ring and be Mike. It's just amazing. So we need to know what the Word says and do it. You know, Jesus' mother at the wedding, when the first miracle took place, she said, whatever he saith, do. And that's what I want to do. Whatever Jesus says. And so then it says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. Boy, do we need to get fully persuaded that God is for us, he is not against us, that we can know that when anything comes into our life to steal, kill, and destroy, that it is from Satan, and deal with it. Come against it. The things that come into our life that pertain to life and life more abundantly, we can thank God for. Don't be confused about what's happening. Is this God's will? Is it not God's will? Did God allow this? And, you know, just John 10:10 helped me with that. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Hey, if it kills, steal, and destroy, it's Satan. If he stole somebody's child at a young age, it just grieves me to hear, well, God needed another angel in heaven. You know, poor God. I mean, our God is getting blamed for stuff that he's not doing. That's dangerous. You know, we need to be careful. I mean, God is love, life, and we need to rightly judge who is, you know, responsible for what. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised he was also able to perform. And that is what was imputed to Abraham for righteousness. I love that. Abraham believed God. And, you know, Dale said something else that really struck me the other night. Israel came out of Egypt. They got right up to the promised land. God had already given them the promised land. But they couldn't believe it. They just, you know, they sent the spies over. Oh, bad reports, bad reports. And they were ready to go back to Egypt. And God had already given it. Now, I'm seeing the church today. We have been Jesus, our Passover, who obtained for us salvation, health, peace, victory, everything that He did for us. And we're right up to the threshold. And we need to go on in and possess the land. He's already given it to us. We just have to get violent enough, vitally active, energetic, and forceful. And that word force in Strong's Concordance means going after and not stopping until we obtain. That's what we need to do, is get violent after our inheritance. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent takes it. What is it? The kingdom of heaven. Our inheritance. Our inheritance that He's already given to us. And yet we walk in sickness, stress, anxiety, insomnia, just worry, poverty. It's all there. But why? We need to get after it, church. We need to get after it. We are His saints. And don't you know that it must grieve Him? I loved what Dale said. You know, no. When Jesus voluntarily took His place on that cross, He underwent the most horrible, torturous death ever. To leave a little bit of sickness on you? I don't think so. He said, it is finished. It is finished. Everything that He did, He's already done it. In fact, you're already healed. You're already healed. Receive it. You know, He told me one time, like a hope. I said, hey, the same thing the leper said. If you wanted to, you could heal me of these allergies. I'm sick of this sickness. And He said, I've already done it. I'm waiting for you to receive it. That was revelation, because we just need to receive what He's done. Receive it. Just receive it. It's that simple. I just said, Lord, I receive. I don't even know how to receive it. I want it. I receive it by faith. It's the only way I know how to do it. And the next day, the rest of that day I was sick, but the next day it was gone. Every manifestation, the swollen glands, the congestion, the blowing and blowing and blowing, the coughing. I mean, everything was gone. I was totally whole and never had it since. Now, you move to the next thing. You know, there were other things in my health. He's our healer, yes, but He can keep you. The divine health, He can keep you. We can live in the place of not being sick. We can. We've done it. God has prepared us. You know, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. You know, He starts talking to me about trusting Him for health, for provision. And then 6 months later, we lose our health insurance. Did I go berserk? No. I traded my insurance for assurance. I have assurance. Assurance. No, I don't want your health insurance. I have health. You can't insure my health anyway. You know? We need to just receive from God. So, I want you to know that our Passover, the blood has been placed, it has been shed, and we are covered. The destroyer has to pass over us. But if it is His job to steal from you. If He can steal your health, He will. You must get violent. You must do what Jesus did. Arm yourself. Our armor is the Word of God, our sword. When sickness comes, you say, I don't think so. The Word, it is written, with His stripes I am healed. It is written, I have the mind of Christ. It is written. You find all the scriptures, a bunch of them that he read today. We read some in the ladies' thing. Arm yourself with the Word. And when he comes to you, it is written. He can't stand the Word of God, especially if you're trusting in it. If you won't hear the lie, then he can't give it to you. So I encourage you to think on these things, everything that he has already done. We don't have to ask him to heal us. Lord, heal me, heal me, heal me. I've already done it. Receive the healing that he has provided for you. If you need peace, receive it. He took the chastisement for your peace so you could have peace. It's all there for us. We just need to receive it. He's the God of reconciliation. My marriage was dead once, but he restored it. We fell in love, and it was better than the first time. I'm serious. It was amazing. I said, Lord, this is, hey, the marriage is your idea. Your institution. It's broken. And I can't fix it. I mean, we coexisted. We didn't even speak to each other. You know? It was terrible. But I didn't want to get a divorce. Both my brothers have gone through a divorce. What's this all about? You know? Spirit of divorce. I didn't know about the spirit of divorce at the time, but it's alive and well. But, yes. And so, I mean, I gave my marriage to God. So he fixed it. Of course, you have to be willing now when you ask God, you gotta do what he says. I mean, I'd been in a depression for 4 years, probably hadn't had my hair combed or makeup or, you know, looked like a hag, acted like a hag. I was so miserable, it was terrible. And I prayed that prayer. One day God said, go take a shower. Fix your hair. Put some makeup on like when you were courting me. You know? I didn't want to do that, but I had asked. Okay, so I did it. So I was sitting, waiting for Mike to get home from work. He says, now, when you hear his truck pull up in the driveway, I want you to greet him the way you would greet me. Wow, Lord. And then he showed me, you know, you're nicer to strangers than you are your own husband. That could be part of the problem. I was mad at him. We got married and my life changed. Woo, his didn't. He still went hunting and fishing and played baseball and golf and tennis and woo. This can't be the divine design. So poor old Mike gets home, and I greet him like I would greet Jesus. Hey, he was scared to take his eyes off of me. I think he thought, hey, she has snapped. She's going to kill me. Hey, offer him something to drink. So I said, would you like some coffee? He's like, how was your day? You know, it was fake, but I obeyed. You know, I didn't want to cook for him. The Lord said, would you cook for me? Do it for me. Don't worry about him. I'm asking you to cook for me. Boy, I tell you, God knows how to get the job done. Hey, I'm telling you, it was just amazing. It was, like I said, falling in love all over again. It did. Better than the first time.
Everybody needs to hear that.
It will work. You know, in the scripture, that when they asked him about divorce, Jesus said, hey, that was given because of the hardness of your heart. If you really want something, you need to yield your will to him. Obey, whether you like it or not, and get miraculous results. That's why we need to be obedient to the Word, because when you obey the Word, miracles can happen. You open the door for miracles when you obey God's Word. In James, I go back to James chapter 5. I was raised in a Methodist church. Hey, we didn't do this. I never even heard of this. Call on the elder of the church. And recently, my mother got a bad report from the doctor. And, you know, I went to go lay hands on her and pray for her. But you know what? I used to, and I do this a lot for people, because the Word says that you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I believe that. And you know what? Let me read something from Mark chapter 16 first. I want to encourage you, if you've never laid hands on anybody, to pray for them. Just begin to do it. You know, I had religious people say, well, are you doing that in your flesh or are you being led by the Spirit? I don't know. All I know is the Word said do it. And I want to be obedient, you know. But it was like, oh, Lord, I don't want to do this in the flesh now. You know, and get all caught up in that. You know what I noticed about Jesus? Hey, when I had a question about something, I go look at Jesus. He was moved with compassion. And if I felt compassion in my heart towards somebody, if that was good enough for Jesus to do it, it's good enough for me to do it. If I have compassion for a person, I say, may I pray for you? Would you allow me to lay hands on you and pray for you? And many people have received healing. Not at my hands, but at God's Word says so. And this is what it says, that these signs shall follow those who believe. You know, just for fun, I'd like to show up. Remember when in school your teacher would say, get out a piece of paper and a pencil, this is a pop test. I hated pop tests. I always think, wouldn't it just be funny if a preacher walked into a church one day and said, we're having a pop test today. Everyone that's a believer, raise your hand. You know, I'd venture to say every person would raise their hand. Okay, believers, these signs shall follow those who believe. Okay, how many in the name of Jesus have cast out demons? Now, why is that? Yes, we can. We can. But really and truly, I mean, this is, my mother thinks that I have a gift. No, Mama. It says, these signs shall follow those who believe. Do you believe? Then you can. I believe. It, you know, I don't have any special gifts. My brother wants to know if when I walk down the sidewalk, if people get healed, if my shadow falls on them. And I said, not yet. But why not? I mean, if it happened then, it can happen now. And Benny Hinn came to Beaumont recently, and he was talking about Benny Hinn. And I said, you know the only difference between Benny Hinn and you? Money. I said, no. He's a banker. No, not money. Benny Hinn does it, you know? I say that if this, I don't mean this disrespectfully, Lord, and you know it. If God wore tennis shoes, he'd wear Nike. You know why? Because that motto is just do it. Just do it. You know, if we would just do the Word, we would see the things they saw in the Bible. So now, if the Lord impresses on me to pray for somebody, I will. But many times, he will have me say, where do you go to church? Well, we go to the First Baptist Church here in Jasper. Well, you know, the Word says that if any among you are sick, call on the elders of the church and be anointed with oil, and pray the prayer of faith. Have you done that yet? I did that. I called on the elders. When I found that, man, my kids were sick. I called the elders. Called the church. Who are our elders? Well, could I ask why you want to know? Well, the Word says that if any among you are sick, and my son's running fever, and we're supposed to go to a CFO camp, and I want to go, and I want them to come and pray for him so he can get well. Oh, she was, I mean, it was just silence. And I said, well, is the preacher there? No. Well, is the associate pastor there? And I was a new member and a new believer and a little nutty. Bold. I believe the Word. So I called the associate pastor and said, I was calling the church for the elders to come pray for Wade. He's sick. I mean, I'll bring him there, but, you know, the Word says. And he was like, well, I have some appointments today. and blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, never mind. I said, Lord, I'm just have to get my oil and do it myself. I looked in the Word. Hey, Jesus rebuked Peter's mother-in-law. Hey, I rebuke that fever in the name of Jesus. I command it to go in Jesus' name. Oil and... I did the best I could. But we went to camp, and he got well. You know, we were blessed. But we need to do. We just need to do what the Word says. So now I encourage people. Go and go, you know. My mother, Methodist, they have a little secret service early in the morning that's not their traditional service later, and there's friction in the church because of that. But I said, Mama, I came to pray for you, and company came in, and I forgot. I'm really ashamed. She lived 75 miles away, or I'd gone back. But the Lord woke me up with a plan, and I just said, Mama, you're a believer, aren't you? Yes. You believe that the Word is true? Yes. Well, James chapter 5 says, if any among you are sick, let him call on the others with touch. Now, do y'all take prayer requests? Yes. Well, do you think you could just get up when he asks? You know, she said, we raise our hands, we tell him. And you know what? I don't mean this disrespectful to anybody either. But the Word does not say, stand in the middle of a circle and circle around him holding hands. It doesn't say that. You know, why don't we see? We prayed, why don't we see? Well, actually, the Word says, you know, you lay hands on the sick. You don't circle around them. You lay hands on the sick. So, Mama, when he asked the prayer request, you think you could just get up out of your chair and walk up to him and say, I would like for you to anoint me and pray for me. I got a bad report at the doctor. I really don't want to go into the hospital and have all those tests. And the Word says, and I'd like for you to do that. She said, yeah, I can do that. I'm not sure I could have done it. I asked her to do it, and she did it. I mean, if I was in her place. So she called me later that afternoon, and she said, well, no, she called me a little later, and she said, now, this oil, what are they going to do with this oil? I said, well, I don't know, Mama. He might pour it on your head. He might dot it on your forehead. He might make the sign of the cross. He might rub it on his hands. And I don't know what he's going to do with it. I said, but you might want to take some of your own because I'm not sure he'll have it. Well, what kind of oil? Baby oil, Crisco, motor oil. It doesn't matter. The oil is just a representative, Mama, of the Holy Spirit. You just, you know, take some oil. So she did, and she called me later and on Sunday. And she said, well, I did it. I had forgotten about it. Well, I did it. Did you, Mama? Yeah. And guess what happened? I said, what? 12 people lined up behind me. Really? Yay! I said, Mama, that's wonderful. I said, don't you see the people need it? They want that. That is God's Word. And do you know she went back to the doctor and she got a perfect report. And she went back and testified. And, you know, then the preacher got moved. Well, I hope he brought his oil with him. You know, maybe he'll know now that, hey, the people need this. He heard the testimony. So, Lord, let it have an effect for people to begin to look to your Word and do it. So I just encourage you, if you've never prayed for somebody, just step out and do it. If Jesus was here and you had somebody that needed prayer, wouldn't you bring him here? But he is. He's in our midst. The man that lay by the pool for 38 years, and Jesus walked up and said, do you want to be made well? Wouldn't you think he would have said, no? He says, oh, but you don't understand. I can't get down to the water. When the water moves, somebody else gets there before. And all these excuses. And the healer is in his midst, right there. And that's the way he is here. Where two or three are gathered, he is in our midst. And when all of us are gathered, which is in every church, the corporate anointing of God is there to perform miracles, and we just sing, listen, go home. Sing, listen, and go home. And the promised land is right here, and we just don't take it. just like the Israelites. And I'm going to tell you, in Hebrews it says, it wasn't the ones that sinned that didn't get to enter in, but those who would not believe. And in Revelation, the first people that it says will be in the lake of fire are the fearful and the unbelieving. Then the murderers and all those bad people that we don't associate, you know, we don't associate ourselves with, but we're fearful and unbelieving, or we'd be doing it. Let's do it. Wherever you go. He said, go ye into all the world. Wherever your feet take you. I used to think that meant Africa and China. You know, it means H-E-B. It means your workplace. It means your neighbor's house. That's your world. What is the world that you live? I don't live in your world. You don't live in mine. When we all go out into the world, we just take the gospel with us and preach it to every creature. And Jesus said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what we all need to do. We are anointed. He's in us. His anointing is there. His power is there. It's like pulling up a car next to a dead car. These are our jumper cables. You know, he prepares. And last year, I shot some people that I meet with occasionally. I said, they were talking about, oh, I got this tape raised from the dead. Have y'all seen it? It is awesome. This woman, her husband died. She would not have it. It was over in Africa. Took him to a bonky, what's his name? Yeah, and that man came alive. And she would not have, no, the word says, women will receive their dead back to life. And she stood on that word, and hey, that man came back alive. He had been embalmed. I mean, it's awesome. And even before I saw that, God had me practice. I said, well, you know, they're talking about Africa, and hey, somebody raised from the dead. I said, well, I'm practicing my raising the dead prayer. He said, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Why are we shocked by that? He did it. He said, raise the dead. I'm practicing my raising the dead prayer. I couldn't find Mike one night, and I got to looking for him. He went out to feed the horse, and I was watching something on TV, and 45 minutes later, he wasn't back in. I got to looking for him. Where is him? And then, fear. You know, came to me. Devil said, hey, what if you walk up on him and he's just flat out dead? Well, I rebuke death. I command life into that body. You know, I'm not having my man dead. No way. I'm practicing my raising the dead prayer. And because God does prepare me before it comes, I'm a little nervous everywhere I go now because, you know. I'm serious. It's coming. It's coming. I know it's coming. And I want to rise to the occasion, you know. I don't want to be caught off guard. And I'm sure not going to do mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. I could never be a nurse, y'all. Hey, when my children were little and they threw up and Mike wasn't home, I called the dog in. I couldn't do it. I just am not good. Now, deliverance is funny. It doesn't bother me. You know, I do deliverance and people are mucusing and stuff. Doesn't bother me a bit. But Plano throw up, I can't handle that. I never be a nurse. Oh, that's throwing up all over you? I'm going to wear a raincoat. I'm going to buy a slicker suit. Anyway, isn't it good to be able to laugh in the house of the Lord? It's just so wonderful. So I encourage you, step out. You know, people need it. Prayed for a man's knees one time. Just hadn't seen this man. He was in my old prayer group years and years ago, and he was old then. I was 23, and he was probably 55. I thought he was an old man. I didn't even know if he was still alive, and I ran into him at Kmart. And he came in to get medicine. Man, his knees bothered him, and I said, well, buddy, don't you know somebody that can lay hands on you and pray for you? No. And I thought, don't worry. Well, would you let me pray for you? So we went out to his truck because I wasn't going to do it in Kmart. There was no chair, to be honest. I looked around for him a place to sit, and there was no place. So I said, well, where are you parked, baby? So we went outside. Of course, right when I go to put my hands on his knees, the lady comes in the car next to us to unload her groceries. So there, I was kind of distracted because I could just imagine what she was thinking. But I was praying for his knees, and I always remember to say, and Lord, if there's anything else in his body that we don't know about, that you do, I just apply the resurrected blood of Jesus to it right now. Well, that was 2 weeks before Christmas, and he called me Christmas Eve, and he said, did you get my letter? I said, no, did you write me? He said, yes. Well, you probably won't get it now for after New Year's. I got to tell you what happened. I went to the doctor for my knee. He said, what I didn't tell you is I am under a doctor's care because I had leukemia. But his knees is what gave him the problem. He couldn't walk. The nurse, the doctor, rolled up his pant leg. She rolled up the other pant leg. The knee was not swollen. He said, I didn't say a thing to her. Wasn't it this knee? Yep. It's not swollen anymore. Not hurting, no. Took his blood, left the room, came back. He said, I don't know what has happened to you, but your platelets are in the above normal when they were way in the... They weren't going to do chemo. He was 85 years old. You know, he said, you're going to die. That's all there is to it. Above normal. Healed. And it made my Christmas. You know, what a gift. But see, in Mark chapter 16, it says, and I tell people this, I'm not worried about whether this is going to work or not. You know why? Because the Word says that when we do that, it says the disciples, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming his word. Miracles happen. And they're for you, too. We're all in that place of being able to go and what we have freely received, freely give, freely give. It is for the others. For yourself first, and then for the others. So just be bold. I was shaking. My clothes were shaking the first time I prayed for somebody. It's okay. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what words you use. The name of Jesus is important. The name of Jesus is important. So I share all that with you to let you know the power of God that is in you and to walk in it, exercise it, use it, give it, receive it. He's an awesome God, and he desires for his people to be made whole. Healing is a deliverance. I mean, what a deliverance to be healed of a depression that is trying to kill you, destroy your marriage, destroy your home. No, healing is a deliverance. It is. And we can offer it to people. Let's pray.
Yes.
Just thank you for your word tonight. And Jesus, we thank you for being willing to take our place on the cross of crucifixion. You took everything that we should have gotten. You took it for us. You suffered every sickness upon that cross. Every affliction, physical affliction, mental, emotional.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.